Welcome to the She Talks Health podcast, dedicated to guiding and supporting women on their journey to optimal thyroid health. I'm Sophie Shepherd, your host and mind-body wellness coach, here to bring you inspiring stories of resilience, education, and transformation. Do you want to stop walking through life feeling like a zombie and start being present? Are you sick of struggling with depression, constipation, hair loss, crippling fatigue, weight gain, cold intolerance, and irregular periods? Do you wish that you had a direct pathway to taking back your mental and physical well-being? Well, my friend, you are in the right place. As a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, I help women transform their thyroid health through physical, mental, and emotional healing. I am so excited to be your guide on this health adventure. Let's embark together on a path that leads to release, joy, empowerment, and normalcy that you've been seeking. Get ready to feel the strength of shared experiences and the power of possibility. Welcome to the She Talks Health podcast. As always, ladies, this podcast and the information being provided to you is for educational and informational purposes only, and it should not be taken as medical advice. It is not intended to treat or cure any specific illness, and it is not to replace the guidance provided by your own medical practitioner. This information is to be used at your own risk based on your own judgment. And if you suspect you have a medical problem, we urge you to take appropriate action by seeking medical attention. I want to tell you guys something really special we have this month only in May 2024 for all of you podcast listeners. We just celebrated the 100th episode of the She Talks Health podcast. And because of that, I'm giving you all $100 off of a 1 hour breakthrough call with me. Now, this call is perfect for someone if you're feeling overwhelmed, confused, you've bought a million supplements, you tried a million different courses and tinctures, and you follow all these Instagram influencers, and you just still are so confused about what to do with your health. You're bloated, you're fatigued, you can't think straight, you have brain fog, you have anxiety, you're gaining weight, your hair is falling out. All of these things are things we can cover in the breakthrough call. This is 1 hour with me that I'm giving you $100 off only in the month of May. So go to the link in the show notes to get your discounted one-to-one thyroid breakthrough call with me. And they are going to be discounted through May 31st. I'm super excited to get on the phone with you and help you break through some of the fears, anxieties, and spirals that you're going through and get you super clear on your blueprint for health. Hey everyone, Sophie Shepherd here with She Talks Health Podcast. Back with an incredible episode today with Jen Trepek, who is an optimal health coach, podcaster, and a business consultant. She is one of Podcast Magazine's 40 Under 40 features and was nominated for the International Women's Podcast Awards of 2022. She also grew up the skinny one in a family of dieters, which was awesome until it went away. And so began her weight management saga. Ultimately, though, Jen learned that nutrition education we're all supposed to know, but no one ever taught us. And it completely changed her life and allowed her to say that she kicked her food issues. And from then on, Jen set out on a mission to pay it forward and help people help themselves. She's been working with people for over a decade. She started a company called Salad with a Side of Fries podcast, and she allows it to be based on science, yet lighthearted. We actually had a great conversation, joked around quite a bit in this episode. We talked a lot around the connection that we have between food and emotions. Talked about how can we start to think about ways to use food as a way to fuel our body, especially in female bodies. We've been fed a lot of things that aren't true. And so we talk a lot about busting some of those myths and what we can be eating to support ourselves metabolically. We talk a little bit about the connection between our food and our mood and what things help with our mood and even how this might apply to thyroid health. We touch on stress and how that impacts us and so much more. This is a really jam-packed episode, tons of education in here and just the real deal, you guys. I know there's a lot of fear-mongering when it comes to diet, and this one, it would be a really good one to listen to if you're tired of all of that and you want some straightforward answers. So I hope you check out this podcast and enjoy. Hey, everyone. Sophie Shepherd here. So excited to be back with another episode of the She Talks Health podcast. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. Jen's in New York City, you guys. I just moved from there. We have that in common.
I'm going to send all the city vibes your way.
Thanks. Thank you. I love it. Yeah, we just bought a house in the suburbs. It's like, who am I? Well, then we always love to just, I love to hear a little bit more about like the you that is you. Like, how did you get into this world and being an optimal health coach? Like, what's your mission? You know, why are you here talking to us today?
So I came to all this wellness stuff, like so many of us, through my own saga of weight management. And I grew up a dancer. I sort of joke that I was like the skinny one in a family of dieters growing up. And then I really started to gain weight between high school and college. And I was like, okay, well, I know what to do because I watched my family do this my whole life. Right. And I also thought I would be different and I would do one thing and tick the box and move on with my life. And that, of course, is not what happened. You know, when I rode that roller coaster of gaining and losing, there were times in my life where I felt like I would breathe and gain weight. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. And alongside my whole sort of like weight management saga, I was looking for something to do outside of my full-time job with the intention of making extra money, investing it, being able to retire early, just really not wanting to work for somebody else for the rest of my life. And then the two worlds collided when I learned about the curriculum that I've now based my entire practice on. At first, I was like, no. That's okay. I've got my thing, right? Like my thing was the crazy roller coaster, but I didn't need whatever they had, right? And then there was this woman who was telling her story of removing like 150 pounds.
Wow.
I know. And I was looking at her and I also, by the way, like anything she said after that, I didn't hear because I was having my own conversation in my own head. Like, oh, because I was staring at her and I'm like, I don't see where 10 pounds could have been on this woman's body. You know, and she's telling me that the equivalent of another human was attached to her.
Wow.
And I remember having this moment of like, Jennifer, like, they know something you don't know. Because with everything you know, that doesn't make any sense. So I worked with a coach. I followed the curriculum myself. And it's like the only thing that allowed me to say I'd kick my food issues.
Wow.
And so from there, I was sort of like, I felt like it was the nutrition education we're all supposed to know and no one ever taught us. And I was like, everybody deserves this information. Mm-hmm. And why isn't this what we learn? Mm-hmm. You know, so I started working with clients. I like set out on a mission to pay it forward and help people help themselves with this information. So I started working with clients like on the side of my full-time job, nights and weekends. And I became an insatiable student. Like mm-hmm. I went to every seminar and training and read every book I could get my hands on and all that kind of stuff. Because as things came up for me or my clients, I was digging into like, well, why is this happening? Right. Because I will say like the biggest piece of that curriculum that changed everything for me was really like the science and the biology side, but like in a very approachable way, science and biology, because it was like, right. And also practical. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, it's not a moral failing and like a failure of willpower that the mini croissant in the communal kitchen on Monday mornings in my office has a voice. Like that's actually chemical.
Yeah,
I know. And so all of a sudden it was like this weight lifted and food decisions went from being emotional of like, why do I suck? Why can't I just not eat the thing? To intellectual of like, wait a minute, I get why that croissant has a voice. What that means is I actually need this. So let me do that and then see what happens if I still want the croissant.
Oh, wow.
And so it was a total shift. So then as things would come up, I started to go, well, it's not just happening for one person, right? We might feel like we're the only one, but it never is. And especially working with clients, like I could see the things that were coming up over and over. And then I went digging for the research to figure out, well, why does this happen? And so how can we make it easier to make the healthful choices?
Wow. That's really incredible. What a wonderful story. I have so many directions now that I
know. Okay. I know.
I guess like the burning thing, right, that everyone probably wants to know was like, what did you find in the research that really, because you said it shifted for you from emotional to intellectual. And so were you mostly making, you know, what were you finding in the research that aligned with the choices you were making? And do you feel like the food choices you were making were based basically on like, oh, I want this carbohydrate And or what was going on there that was driving the weight for you? Was it mostly emotional eating? And then how did the research help you shift that?
Well, I mean, it was a combination, right? It's never just one thing. But fundamentally, whether we are burning fat or storing fat is a function of blood sugar. And we have all been told to eat less, move more. So whether we are burning fat or storing fat is a function of blood sugar. And by the way, also, depending on what's happening with our blood sugar, has a tremendous impact on cravings. It has a tremendous impact on mood and all of these other things. So of course, it stands to reason. By the way, also, when we have low blood sugar, we have no willpower. So it's not a coincidence that in the morning, breakfast is an easier meal to have, quote unquote, on plan than dinner or after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A lot of times, those cravings for sugar are connected to insufficient protein. So in that moment, when we're craving the croissant or when the croissant looks so good in the kitchen, it's like, wait a minute, I actually need my breakfast, right? Because when we're hungry, when we need fuel, the body says, I need fuel as fast as possible, which is high glycemic food, because that's fast fuel, right? The body has to do less work to turn that into energy. So of course, the croissant looks good, especially compared to, you know, an egg or a salad.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if we can eat the omelet and then see how we feel about the croissant, we're in an infinitely better place, not just in terms of, you know, fueling ourselves to last, but also in terms of how that croissant impacts our body in fat storage or fat burning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? So it's all these kinds of things. It's layered, right? But ultimately, it was just it was like this education of here's what our body does with food. Here's how foods impact our body. And so there, I'm tempted to say always, but, you know, absolutes are, you know, but 99.9% of the time, there's a connection and it's explainable in a way biochemically rather than the assumption that we think that we failed. And we assume that we've failed because the diet or the rules have told us to do something. And I think, you know, this is a whole can of worms, but even in terms of understanding the challenge with calories in, calories out. And this was a big thing for me of why all these other diets didn't work and why I felt like I would breathe and gain weight is because I literally was. Because when we do these quote unquote diets where we cut out whole food groups, or we dramatically cut calories or all these kinds of things, the number on the scale goes down. It goes down for a finite period of time and then it stops and we get annoyed that it stopped moving. And then we go back to old eating habits and we gain the weight back. But what's happening in the body when that number on the scale goes down, what we are losing is water, muscle, and bone, which is why it stops, because the body starts to protect itself. And then we get annoyed because the scale stopped moving and we go back to old eating habits. But now we have less muscle on our body to be burning that extra fuel. Muscle is metabolically active, right? So muscle dictates metabolism. So we have less muscle on our body to be burning that extra fuel. We gain the weight back. The number on the scale is creeping up. With less muscle on the body, we're gaining that weight back as fat. So even if we end up on the scale at the same number that we were before, by body composition, we are fatter at the same number. Because we lose it as water. So, and like that yo-yo, right? Lose it as water, muscle, and bone, gain it back as fat. Lose it as water, muscle, and bone, gain it back as fat. So over time, each time we do that, we are wreaking havoc on our metabolic health, even if the number on the scale is going between the same two extremes.
Yeah. And then I see this happen. And then I get women who are in like their 40s and then maybe they've done this like 15 times.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So you mentioned something really important, which is a muscle, having enough muscle. Oh, we just had Emily Kybert on the podcast, who's a friend of mine who runs Thyroid Strong, which is a workout program for women with hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's, and how we can focus, if we focus on muscle, we really do well.
Yes.
That way.
We improve metabolism.
We improve metabolism. Yes. And one of the main things we talked about was the importance of protein for that. And I find like I do pretty thorough intake when someone comes in, and like I would say on average, like women are eating like maybe a third of the amount of protein that they ought to be. And so I wonder if you might just talk about that a little bit deeper, what you've seen to be really helpful there. I'm seeing like somewhere around 100 to 130 grams of protein is like a really good amount for me. And I feel best at 130. So they always say like 1 pound of, like it's 1 pound of ideal body weight to the number of grams of protein per day. So what do you
We're going to make it a lot easier.
Right. Yeah.
Because here's the, like, I'm all, make it easy. A serving size of protein for a female body, biologically female body, at a meal is 4 to 6 ounces. Mm-hmm. So think about your whole hand, not the palm like we've been told, right? But your whole hand at a meal. A snack is 2 to 3 ounces. So now that snack is your palm, maybe a little less than your palm.
Oof.
Every time we eat.
Yeah, that's huge.
Protein and fiber.
Every time. Every time. No, okay.
Every time. All right. Every time you eat is protein and fiber. I always say protein and fiber at every meal makes removing fat no big deal. So protein is clean, lean protein. I don't care, whatever you want, clean, lean protein. Fiber is vegetables and sometimes fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then a meal is really any time we eat. The difference between a meal and a snack is how much we have at a time and therefore how long it's going to last us. So if what you have is 2 to 3 ounces of protein, so let's say we have some Greek yogurt, some almond butter, and an apple. It's probably going to last us 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It is appropriate to be hungry again. So let's say you have that at 8 a.m. It is appropriate to be hungry again at 11, maybe even 10:30, right? Mm-hmm. Which means we need to fuel again, especially if lunch isn't at 11. We might need another snack to get us through to midday where we're going to have a meal. If you started your day with an egg white omelet and veggies and maybe even some berries and maybe even, you know, some turkey bacon or something, if you like it, right? That meal is going to last us closer to 5 hours. So that one meal might take you all the way through to midday. We don't necessarily need that snack if that's the meal. The trick is it doesn't have to be the same every day. The point is for us to understand different meals, how we feel when we have them, right? Different combinations of protein, fiber, also quality fat we need in there. So understanding how we feel when we have that, we can then plan our day. So if I have a day that's a lot of crazy meetings and I know that my next chance to eat is 6 hours from now, I need to go for that meal that's going to last me, or I need to plan the meeting appropriate snack that I can eat during the meeting.
Amazing. So yeah, that's where I was going to go, was let's get specific about what those are, because I think a lot of times we talk around it on podcasts and I'd love for people to hear, like you just gave great examples. So we're talking about, and I love what you said about like almost this period of time, I think of like tracking what, you know, you eat the food, how long did you stay full, track your mood, how are you feeling there? And then, you know, you can kind of be more educated about, hey, this makes me feel this way. So now I can plan my life. So are there any other,
You
know, what are you eating, you know, on Monday through Friday that works really well for you? Can you share some more examples of this, this higher protein fiber combination?
Yeah. And it depends, right? Like I said, I mean, some days are different. I'm currently personally experimenting with a 30-30-30, which is 30 grams of protein by itself within 30 minutes of waking up and then 30 minutes of constant state exercise.
Wow. It's kind of like a, it's kind of like one of those, what are they calling
right.
it? Hard. No, they're called hard.
Yeah, right. okay. Also, because we were just talking about protein in ounces and then I just went to grams and you were talking about it in grams and I hear everybody going, oh my God,
I was going to make sure, because the thing I wanted to ask you is, you when you're starting this, do you really need to measure your food? And like, how do you help? You know, there's a lot of people with like disordered eating, things like that. And how
100%
do that and know what we're eating,
which is why I'm a big fan of your hand is enough of a measurement. I'm not living my life with measuring cups in my handbag or a food scale in my handbag. I hope you're not either. So our hands are enough. A serving size of fruit or vegetable is a handful, unless it's greens, in which case it would be like 2 handfuls is one serving. Right. We already did the hand thing for protein. So whole hand at a meal, palm or a little less at a snack. And then serving size of an avocado is actually half of the avocado. Everybody's always afraid of like, oh, I had like a quarter of a sliver of a half an avocado. Like, no, eat some avocado. You're going to be fine.
Whole halves with my tuna salad. Yeah.
That is one serving of avocado.
Yep. And guess what, guys? I also had it on some bread and I'm not dead and I'm actually at my ideal weight. Because why? Yeah. I had fiber and I had protein. Okay. I love it. I love these.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. Okay. Good amount.
So, or like a tablespoon of olive oil or avocado oil or a small handful of nuts, mm-hmm. right? Those are your quality fat and serving sizes and like a tablespoon estimate, right? Like, I just want you all to know you didn't get here from the olive oil. You didn't get here from the avocado.
Yeah.
So like, don't worry about it. It's all going to be fine.
Amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
Okay. So back to the protein thing. When you're reading a food label, 7 grams is like 1 ounce of a cooked meat.
Okay.
So
oh.
An egg is 1 ounce of protein. An egg is 7 grams of protein. So if we're having eggs for breakfast, 4 ounces is 4 eggs.
Right.
And everybody has 2 eggs and they're like, you know, it was fine. No, it's not fine.
No, it's 12 grams of protein, right?
Right. That's going to take you a couple hours and then you're going to need to fuel again. Now, for a lot of people, that's a lot. Remember a couple things. Your protein doesn't all have to come from one thing. So you might do 2 eggs and other things that are giving you some protein. Right? That's totally fine. It doesn't all have to be from one thing. Like I have a client who likes a cottage cheese omelet. I'm like, okay, great.
Lots of protein.
Right? Lots of protein. Awesome. Have at it. Right? Then our fiber might come from berries. It might come from veggies. I am a big fan. My favorite breakfast is a breakfast salad.
Oh.
So whatever you have, right? Lots of greens, whatever you have. I particularly love shredded lettuce. So I either slice it like really fine or you can use like a grater and like actually shred it. But so whatever greens you have, whatever veggies you have, I like a lot of things in my salads. So I'll do a little bit of a lot of things. Ultimately, my salad is probably 3 or 4 servings of vegetables.
Wow. Good for you. First thing in the morning.
Right. If I have that, I'm not eating again for a while. Right. If I'm starting my day with more of a snack. If I'm having a handful of berries and like 2 hard-boiled egg whites, I'm eating again in a couple hours. And maybe that's my bigger breakfast that's going to hold me all the way through to maybe like a later lunch.
I love the way you're breaking this down. I think it's so helpful. They probably are moms. They've got a lot on their schedule. How can we get that food in? I know it's also important sometimes. I always say within 90 minutes or less.
Same. 60 to 90 minutes of waking up. We want to get fuel in our body.
In your body, and we're so afraid of this eating.
There are some people where, like, we've trained ourselves to not be hungry in the morning. Not a great sign. So what that means is we want to start to get our body used to getting fuel.
I want to talk about this because this is huge. I see this 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10. Women come in, they have Hashimoto's, their metabolism slowed way down. They've probably done dieting maybe 10 to 20 times. They don't have minerals. They have gut dysfunction. Like everything is cued. And then their cues for eating are way off. And so then when I tell them, hey, you're going to eat within 90 minutes. What? I'm not hungry at all.
Right.
The world. And maybe we even thought, oh, this is so good for us because intermittent fasting had such a big.
So I don't think you guys could hear my eye roll at the intermittent fasting, but I'm like, where to start? Okay. So yes, fuel in our body within 60 to 90 minutes. If you are somebody who is not hungry in the morning, you don't have to start your day with a meal that's 4 ounces of protein and 4 servings of vegetable. Fine. Start your day with a snack and then have your bigger meal, you know, a little later in the morning. But we must get quality fuel in our bodies within 60 to 90 minutes of waking up. If you feel like you are never hungry until you see food or until you start eating, and then you're like, oh boy, I was hungry. Now I need all the things. And then we feel a little bit insatiable, right? Those are telltale signs of leptin ghrelin resistance. So leptin is the hormone that tells us when we're satisfied. Ghrelin is the hormone that tells us when we're hungry. Similar to the way we can become insulin resistant, we know that to be diabetes. We can become resistant to the hormones, leptin and ghrelin, that tell us when we're satisfied and when we're hungry. We're not doomed, right? Just like somebody with insulin resistance isn't doomed. We can rehab the metabolism, right? We can help our body properly respond to these hormones again. part of that is giving your body fuel in the morning.
Let's say that again. I know we're being funny. I'm just, ladies, if you're listening, like, we just see this all the time. And it's like, I think that because there's so much nutrition noise out there, there's a lot of misinformation. So you heard it here from Jen, from Sophie. We can reset.
Yeah.
Reset. And part of that is eating in the morning. And I love your strategy of why and just make it a snack. Why are we putting so much pressure that it has to be one of the three main meals of our day? Why we could just be, maybe it's a Greek yogurt with some berries if dairy works for you, right? Or, you know, something small that someone could grab.
Exactly. And then, again, we can then have maybe more of a meal a little bit later, as long as we're then adjusting our eating times based on how much we're having at a time, it's all going to be fine. So the guidelines that I say, and going to the intermittent fasting thing, I'm a big fan of fasting from dinner to breakfast the next day.
Yeah.
So.
And that's usually like 12 hours. I mean, just that.
Maybe. Yeah. So think about, we want to start our day. We wake up. First fuel within 60 to 90 minutes of waking up. Then we're going to eat. We're going to end food about 2 hours before bed, 2 to 3 hours before bed. And then we're fasting, right? From that 2 to 3 hours before bed to breakfast the next day, which is about an hour to 90 minutes after we wake up. So from, you know, between those two endpoints, a meal is going to last us probably 4 to 5, maybe 5.5 hours, depending on what we have. And a snack is going to last us like 1 to 2, depending on how much we have. And then we just sort of piece it together. And every day might look different, and that's okay.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
And actually, it's great for your body for it to be different every day.
Okay, yeah, let's get into that maybe in a second, because I think there's a lot of fear around it has to be a certain way. Like, I see, you know, I don't know how much you see like the emotion around like doing it right. I would love if there is anything else you want to say around why that is helpful for our body for it to be a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't use right, wrong, good, bad words around food, right? There is no right way. There might be choices that move us faster toward our goal. There might be choices that move us lower toward our goal. There might be choices that feel really good in the moment. It's all fine, right? Everything is just a choice, and there are moments for every choice. Our bodies are so smart, right? And at the same time, as smart as they are, they also like the path of least resistance. So once the body knows exactly what it's going to get, when it's going to get it, and there is rarely any deviation from that, it sort of slows to that thing, and it will only burn based on what it knows it's getting when. So sometimes by surprising the body, we push it to work harder because we give it something it wasn't expecting. Now, how do we do that? It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, Monday to Friday, the body is a temple, and Saturday, Sunday, you know, it's a frat house. Like, that's not actually balanced.
So good. I love it. I've never heard someone say that before. You're so hilarious. Okay. That's not balanced. We don't want to be in a frat house.
Right. Well, having that kind of rigidity around it, it's just as black and white, on, off, good, bad, as other approaches. That's not actually balanced. A cheat day, sorry to tell you, is not actually balanced.
I was just going to say balance. That's what it made me think of when you said that, with like this idea of a cheat day. I'm like, what is this idea of a cheat day? Like, man, it's right. Not really working for people to do that.
Right. And in fact, the body is better equipped to burn a little harder from having a little something every day than from eating in this box 90% of the time, or even 80% of the time, and then going off the rails 10 or 20% of the time.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just how the body functions. It's about the liver to detoxify, and all our organs have to work together. And so anytime we're putting extreme anywhere, it is not helpful anywhere.
Oh, I love that. Anytime you put extreme anywhere, it's not helpful anywhere. That's so good.
Right. Healthful. Like, if our objective, right, is to remove fat, and then we go, you know, no holds barred at some point, it doesn't mean that that's terrible. We just have to recognize that that's then putting a lot of stress on the liver. That doesn't end that day because we've decided that, okay, I'm back to my box the next day.
And there's so many things we might have to
have. Here's what I'll say to everybody. Like, I figured this out for myself for a while. I felt like I was perfect. I was textbook, and it was working, right? In air quotes, it was working, and I felt great. And then a friend of mine and I one Saturday, also this was like 20 years ago, so, you know, there's that. But we went to a Starbucks and we met up and we were hanging out, and I had like their sugar cookie with M&Ms, which is so weird because it's like, I mean, I love good cookie, but like the M&Ms is not my thing, but whatever. I had this cookie and I went for my weigh-in that week, and the scale moved more in that week than it had in months. And it was like, oh my God, wait, my body can handle the occasional indulgent choice much better than it can handle the extreme of like, you know, a whole day or whatever it is. So if you love your, you know, dark chocolate after dinner, great, have it. Because also, when we know from all of the research, but also just in our own human behavior, binging is a direct reflection of, right? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So if we can learn to live in the middle a little bit, right? Like, so my elementary school classroom had like a chalkboard along like one whole wall, and above the chalkboard with the alphabet, like laid out left to right above the chalkboard. So I think of it like a pendulum. Before, my pendulum was swinging like A to Z, right? We have our textbook days and our cheat days, right? That's the pendulum swinging A to Z. We think we're supposed to have this pendulum like perfectly straight down, right? Or perfectly in one place all the way at one. But a pendulum actually, by definition, cannot stay still. And so what I learned is that the objective is to have the pendulum swinging back and forth in the middle from like K to O, right? K to P, whatever, somewhere in the middle, back and forth, a little bit here, a little bit there, all the time. We bob and weed, we live our lives. It's never just one thing. There's always movement. And that's exactly how we can live our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's the objective. We're never going to end up, and never is an absolute, right? But we're never going to end up in this place where there's no movement whatsoever. And if we are, that's not a great sign. You're probably dead.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But, you know,
no, still like that. I love that idea. And I think it's really, really quite helpful for I think we have a lot of work to do to make up for the diet culture messages that have been sent to women. And what's convenient, I think, is that actually eating good, you know, not good, eating foods that are helpful in this way with the right ratio that you're talking about and all that, and still enjoying the chocolate chip M&M cookie. I mean, I just got a chocolate chip cookie today. I'm planning on eating it. You know what I'm saying? Also enjoying those things can be really helpful, because like you said, if we go too far on one direction, we're just going to keep falling off. And then that's where we end up in this diet cycle that is actually hurting us, right? And even like not in hurting us also with the weight conversation, which kind of brings me into another section I know you know a lot around, which is mood, you know, emotional eating, mood, mental things, something I love to talk about. And our mood, our brain, I believe, is like one of the biggest dictators of the choices we're going to make. And yet also we know a lot of the choices we make impact our mood. So what are some foods you love to focus on for improving your mood? How can we kind of start to crack this cycle that a lot of people get into?
Yeah. So I want to back up for a second before I get into specific foods, but I will, I promise. Understand that emotional eating is inherent in human life. There isn't a culture on this planet that doesn't gather around food for some occasion, if not all occasions. So we are never going to untie emotions and food. What we can do is better understand that connection and build up our awareness around what's driving certain choices. So one of the simplest way to determine if a choice is based on stomach hunger or emotional hunger is almost about what we're craving. So cravings and emotional hunger tend to be for a specific. True stomach hunger is actually much more general, meaning a whole bunch of things would actually fit the bill. Mm-hmm. So if we're truly hungry, I mean, think about those moments when you're truly hungry and you're like, honestly, this menu has so many choices, I can't decide. Because you're actually hungry. When we're emotionally hungry.
Because, like, if I don't get a chocolate chip cookie right now, I'm going to, you know, lose in my mind.
Exactly. So if broccoli doesn't sound good, if you wouldn't eat an apple or some carrot or a cucumber, there's probably something else going on. Doesn't mean we're not going to eat the other thing, but it's just tuning our awareness to recognize what's driving that choice, right?
It's great to know what those, to know that difference. Even, it's funny, I'm even thinking about yesterday, like, there was definitely a difference, and I was aware of it. Like, I was like, oh yeah, I'm really, like, I'm not, I am actually hungry, but, like, I'm also specifically hungry for, like, this sugary thing. And emotionally, I was like, I was kind of just bored. Like, there was nothing like bad really or anything like that. I wasn't like sad or upset. I'm just like, I'm kind of bored. Like, all my friends are busy this weekend. I spent the weekend cleaning the house, and like, my dopamine receptors are like, okay, like, you know, sugary thing. That sounds good. You know,
right.
That's really helpful. I keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then depending, right, if we're going to work through that emotional eating piece, right, there's a whole path on that. Separate from all of this, right? And then just thinking about mood, right? You talked about dope. Our mood is a function of neurotransmitters. What are the building blocks of neurotransmitters?
Amino acids.
Thank you. Amino acids, right? Amino acids are the building blocks of protein, which means we have to give our body nutrients in order to build the mood. It is no coincidence that hangry is a term. Right.
I know. And I've definitely felt it. And we've all felt it. I love this conversation so much. I was diagnosed with general anxiety disorder when I was younger, and like, I didn't know any of this different stuff. And now I work with a woman who runs the neurotransmitter test for my clients who have a lot of stuff. We work a lot in the emotional, mental world too. And not just around food, but just in general. It's always really interesting to correlate when we see these like low dopamines and low serotonins. And then I'm talking to them about this protein conversation and they're like, oh yeah, like I eat like a chicken breast today. And I'm like, okay, like we have some room to support the amino acids. And it's like, yeah.
Again, like the good news is we're not due. Like actually this all tracks, right? Mm-hmm. Of course you're challenged by your mood when we aren't giving our body what it needs to do the thing. So thinking about, yes, protein, B vitamins, also from protein, but we can also get B vitamins from other places, right? But realize B vitamins are used in a lot of places in the body. And when we're stressed, stress like eats up all of our B vitamins. So having a greater commitment to the B vitamins, especially in times of stress, and the protein and antioxidants, right, for the brain, and quality fat, because a majority of our brain is made up of quality fat, right? We can then give our body all the building blocks it needs to have a fighting chance of giving you an awesome day.
Yeah.
But our expectation that we're going to eat less, eat foods devoid of nutrition, and then be happy people is setting ourselves up.
Yeah, been there. Not fun. Not fun.
Yeah.
I love this idea of like the commitment to the B vitamin. Like for whatever reason, when you said that, I was like, I'm getting married to the B vitamin.
Right.
Yeah, I literally just took my B vitamins right before this call. I mean, because of that, and you know, I've been able to get myself off my antidepressant through a lot of these things, and I have MTHFR, so I'm always, it's a gene mutation that sometimes makes it harder for you to synthesize your B vitamins.
So methylation is the process that's impacted by the MTHFR gene. Okay. So like for layman's terms to put it in perspective. So methylation is like a 16, 20, like ridiculous number of step process in the body. Most people genetically don't get all the way through all those steps, which means we can't convert vitamins into the form that our body needs to use it. And B vitamins are just one of the vitamins that need, you know, that go through this methylation process. So when we're looking at supplementation, especially around B vitamins, a couple things. One, we want to make sure that they are in the methylated form, the activated form. So what this means is you're essentially taking a supplement that's already at step like 18, 19 of 20. And now our body can actually use them and get the benefit of them. Another thing, a lot of people like to go hog wild on B12, but B vitamins are like a family. And like any good party, the whole family has to be invited, right? Otherwise, there's drama. So B vitamins, we actually need a complex of B vitamins. We need all the B vitamins there for them to work well and to work properly, because they almost can act like cofactors for the other. So if we have a ton of one and none of another, it might not matter that you have a ton of B12, right? So by taking a B complex that is in the activated, the methylated form, then we're giving our body a fighting shot of being able to use these B vitamins.
So well said. Could not have said it better myself. I so agree. I remember my phase where I only thought B12 was important. It was, like, not working. Oh, wait, this is why. It's actually really important to know about this. Someone was just DMing me about methylation. And she's like, I have MTHFR and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's okay. You're not doomed. Like you say, you know, you're not doomed.
Totally.
Okay. So good. So we talked about bees. We talked about, protein specifically.
Omega-3s, right? Specifically, like DHA and EPA specifically. So I love everybody in their flax, but I'm really sorry. We need fish oil. And you want your fish oil from like deep sea fish. Omega-3s from like the flax can be great for like your hair and your nails, but it's not going to do what we need for our heart and our brain. Deep sea marine animals are best sources there, even in terms of our antioxidants and vitamins and minerals and all these kinds of things. If you eat a variety of fruits and vegetables, your fiber, you're going to get the variety of the micronutrients, right? The vitamins and minerals that we need. So the great news is also that it's not one approach for the scale and another approach for our mood, right? The best news is that it's all the same thing, right? Our most healthful options for the scale are also our most healthful options for our mood and our overall health and our metabolic health and our cardiovascular health and all the things. So we don't have to do separate effort, right? It's all the same stuff.
Yeah, it's so great. It makes it so much easier for us busy women, right? With all of this. It's so, so helpful. Well, the only other area that I really wanted to make sure we touched on today before we wrap up is we obviously have a lot of people like me who have hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's, and of course, one of the main symptoms of this thyroid dysfunction. We know the thyroid is the, you know, controller of so much of our metabolic function. And so weight gain is probably, you know, the number one for women thing that, you know, we hear behind brain fog and fatigue. And so Noah just kind of talked about all the things to do for mood and for weight loss. And we were just talking about how it's all the same. And is there anything additional that you might add from your perspective around eating to support thyroid function and, you know, weight loss for people who have, you know, that thyroid disease, active thyroid disease?
Yes and no. When it comes to supporting the thyroid, we might want to focus maybe a little bit more on the cruciferous vegetables, maybe a little bit more on making sure we're getting enough iodine and some of these things. But really, if we are eating to keep our blood sugar balanced, right? And that doesn't mean it stays constant. What it means is that it's sort of up and down within this middle range. It is also going to support our thyroid. The big things then that come into play with thyroid is also stress and like all of our other hormones. Right. So it's interesting, actually, used to call it the HPA axis, right? The hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal. And now it's actually being referred to as the HPA-TGG, which is hypothalamic, pituitary, adrenal, thyroid, gonadal, gut axis.
So true.
It is coming full circle and it is including our gut health. It is including the thyroid. It is including our hormonal health. And so what we see is that at every phase of life, we're going to need to adjust things a little bit. It is no coincidence that what worked in your 20s isn't, quote unquote, working in your 40s or in your 60s, right? And by the way, it's also true that what works one week of the month may not work a different week of the month, because the female body not only has changes over the course of our lives, but we also have a 30-day cycle in our hormones. So every day, our body is biochemically different than it was the day before. So you're not losing your mind when you feel completely different when you wake up. Your body is different, right? And it has to be in order for us to work through this 30-day cycle. So just recognizing that all of these things play into it. And then we start with the fundamentals. So one of the things that I also say to everybody too is oftentimes the more symptoms we have, the easier the solution, because one change can impact everything. So if what we do right now is simply eat protein, fiber, and quality fat, a lot of these other things will start to take care of themselves. And then we'll be able to say, oh, I can actually tweak this one little thing, or we can add a B complex here or an omega-3 here and see how it impacts us, right? The strength training, the fuel, and some strategic supplementation can make tremendous impact on everything, the mood, the thyroid health, and the weight.
I agree. I really do, especially, you know, I know I've said this on the podcast so many times, you guys, but if you do have hypothyroidism, go listen to the Emily Kyberg's podcast episode where we talk about the strength training that Jen just mentioned here. Is like so important that we are getting muscle. Like she started the podcast, Jennifer, today talking about the muscle, and we get that from the lifting and also from eating enough protein. And I love what you're saying there. And then, yeah, it's like supplements are there to supplement, but I agree. Like if you can get the fuel right, it just, it happens. And it happened for me. I mean, I had, let's see, I was probably about 40 pounds heavier than my normal weight when I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's. And just getting rid of the foods that were inflaming my body and then doing the protein, fiber, fat, I lost all the weight. And, you know, I was on the right medication that helped as well. And I started to learn how to deal with stress and all those things. But those were the biggest key indicators for me that to shift the weight conversation. That and stress, those are like the biggest.
Well, so that's what I was going to go to next, which is stress. And the thing to understand about stress is, well, there's a lot to understand about stress. This is a whole other episode onto itself. But the thing for this moment is to recognize that your HIIT training, your lack of regular fuel is interpreted as a stressor on the body. So the more that we can fuel regularly, as we talked about before, between meals and snacks, 60 to 90 minutes after waking up, finishing 2 to 3 hours before bed, and then strength train to build muscle without doing HIIT workout and maybe supplementing, right? Definitely maybe supplementing your strength training with walking. You are helping the body physically manage the stress and everything else. It's going to do more favors for you than you can even realize. And it sounds too simple to be true, because we've been told that if stuff isn't hard enough or long enough or crazy enough or whatever, that it doesn't work. And the thing that I say, like we've heard, right, sitting is the new smoking, right? Because it's not human for us to be sitting such a vast majority of the day. So it's also not human to sit all day and then go berserk for 1 hour. What's much more human is a little bit of movement all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's what we want to do. We want to build muscle and then move all the time throughout our day, which is walking.
I love that. Yeah. I have weights and walking. WW.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love what you just said, though, about like it's not human for us to just go berserk for 1 hour a day. It's so true. And it doesn't have to be hard for it to be effective. So I love that, too, because there is such a mentality of like, well, because it's always been hard. And it's like, yeah, but that hasn't really been working, has it? So let's make it easier.
Right.
Well, amazing. This has been absolutely like incredible to have you on. Thanks for breaking down these really complex, sometimes overwhelming topics into actual steps that people can take. We love that about this podcast. Where can people find you and like what can people plug into in your world?
Absolutely. So all social media, I'm at Jen Trepek, JennTrepek. Website is asaladwithasideoffries.com. So on the website, asaladwithasideoffries.com, I have a download for you there. That is, it's not what to eat, it's how to eat. So I often say how to eat and how to cheat, but you guys know how I feel about that word cheat. So it's how to eat. And then podcast is Salad with a Side of Fries. So wherever you're listening, you can click over there. And then of course, Sophie, we're happy to offer you guys all a complimentary wellness discovery call. So I'll make sure you get the link to offer that for everybody.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much. I'm sure so many people will take advantage of that. And yeah, thanks for your time today. This was awesome. And I had so much fun laughing about these things as well with you.
Thank you. I know. I feel like we could talk for hours. So we like barely scratched the surface of stuff that I know we wanted to talk about. So
I know.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And thank you guys for listening to the podcast. We'll see you on the next episode of the She Talks Health podcast. Thanks so much for joining me on this episode of the She Talks Health podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with a girlfriend. This is how we get the podcast into the hands of women all over the world. If you'd like to connect with me directly, be sure to shoot me a DM on Instagram as She Talks Health to start a conversation. I'd love to hear from you. Or you may always visit our website, shetalkshealth.com, if you're interested in joining a program or scheduling a future call with me, or even taking advantage of our thyroid and other free resources.